It just took one word for Dominic's whole life to change. One word. Cancer. Only he heard it, he wished he hadn't been so insistent that the doctor just tell him right away what he thought was the problem with him. Glioblastoma, said Dr. Jones. It's an aggressive form of brain cancer. And the tests, the scans, they confirm that you have it. So here's Dominic and his girlfriend, Grace, sitting next to him, sitting in the doctor's office, and a kindly physician on the other side of the desk laying out the facts for him. Well, can you stop it? Says Dominic. Says Dr. Jones, it's a very aggressive form of cancer. There's some things that we can do to definitely slow its progress. I'd recommend that you immediately have surgery, and we'll cut out as much as we can, then chemotherapy, and then radiation, but you need to know that the prognosis is poor. Poor, says Dominic. Poor. Grace grabs his hand, and you can see that she's crying. What do you mean by poor, doctor? Am I going to die? Doctor says, untreated, on average, people live with glioblastoma for about 3 months. With treatment, after it's about 50% live as long as 2 years. You're a bit younger, and that'll help you, but you have stage four. It's a very developed cancer. But we're going to do all that we can. At the five-year mark, about 5% survival rate. But we're going to do everything we can to put you in that 5%. And Dominic's just trying to take all this in. Like, how do you process news like that? He's only 32 years old. He thought he had his whole life in front of him. Do you have any questions? Says the doctor. And his head is swirling with things, but he can't think of anything in the moment to ask. The doctor hands him a brochure about chemotherapy and radiation and what things he can be expecting as he goes through treatment. And then he says, I'd like you to come in at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning for pre-op. We need to do surgery right away. The medication that you're on, we think, has controlled your seizure enough that I feel okay with you going home for the night, but I'd recommend that you not drive. And you do need to know that this is a serious condition, and that brain surgery, there are risks. We're not going to know what we're facing until we get in there, and sometimes people undergoing surgery, they lose bits of their memory. Their personality changes. Sometimes there are other functions that they lose in the process. So I would recommend that you, as best you can, is to try to get your house in order. Many patients find it helpful to find networks of emotional and spiritual support to be there for them in these very difficult times. It's the very hard journey that you're on. But you need to know, I'm going to be there with you as much as I can. And we're just going to hope for the best. Oh, okay, they say. And Dominic and Grace, they leave the office. Moments later, they're walking down the hallway on their way out of the church, out of the hospital. And I mean, his whole life is kind of flashing before his eyes. Like, what? How do you prepare for something like this? This isn't what you expect. Grace drove him home, and they came into the house where they'd been living together for the last almost 5 years, and their 1-year-old son Avery was right there. He was almost one, and the house was a mess. Dominic immediately could see that I mean, everything had been put on hold since he had his seizure about 3 days ago. Everything had been put on hold, and they were just all waiting. And as he wondered what Grace was thinking and how all this had affected her. I mean, she hadn't said anything really since the diagnosis. So he turned to her and said, "Grace, honey, what are you thinking?" She looks back and she says, "Dominic, I want to get married." "What? You want to get married?" "Yeah, I want to get married." "Like, now?" "It's like, yeah, now. I want to be with you through the whole chemotherapy. I want to be with you through the surgery. And I don't just want to be the girlfriend. We're family. We're family. I had to lie to the nurse in the ICU to come in and see you. I want to be married." He said, "Okay." So she goes online and she starts doing some research, and he, as she's doing that, he notices Avery, and he's now walking on his own. And just 3 days ago, he'd remembered he had to pull himself up on like the coffee table to kind of navigate around. And he thought, all this change happened to my son in just 3 days. In just 3 days. And I missed it. I missed his first steps. And he started thinking about what else he might miss. His first day of school. His first bike ride. His first girlfriend. His high school graduation, maybe? Or what if, he thinks, what if I miss his second birthday? Well, Grace has been doing some research on the computer now, and she comes back and she discovers in Washington State there's a 3-day waiting period to get married. So even if they went down and got the license today, they couldn't get married today. And Dominic was just thinking, how sick and ironic is life? You know, I put off this great big decision because I thought I had all this time, and then the time I really discovered I wanted it, I couldn't do it because I'd run out of time. Well, he figured, I need to call people. I need to tell some people what's going on. But I mean, who do you call with, or how do you do that call? He's thinking. His mom and his dad had separated about 18 years ago. She was living in New York with her girlfriend and running a yoga school, and he liked talking to her. You know, they talk over the phone fairly frequently. She was kind of neat because, you know, she just wanted him to be happy. She didn't really care what he did. And so she was always like really affirming, and, "Honey, I just want you to be happy. Just do whatever makes you happy, honey." And so it was great because it just made him feel good every time he talked to her. And I mean, his dad was closer. His dad was in Portland. But, you know, about 5 years before, his dad had a religious experience. And, you know, he now was a Christian, and he was going to church, and then he met his, you know, the woman that ended up becoming his wife at church. And I mean, he was never harsh to him or never judgmental about, you know, how Dominic and Grace were living or anything. But every time he called, he just sort of, you know, he just kind of knew how his dad felt and knew that this really wasn't what his dad wanted for him, and he just kind of felt bad. So he tried not to call him, but something in him knew that when he needed to make this call, he needed to call his dad. So he sits down at the kitchen table and picks up his phone. "Hey, Dad." "Yeah, it's me, Dominic." "Yeah. And his dad says back to him, "Oh, Dominic, hey, it's good to hear from you. You know, I was just praying this morning, and you came to mind, and I was going to call you, and I didn't, and I'm really sorry, and hey, what's up?" "Dad, I've got cancer." "What?" says his dad. It's called glioblastoma. It's a brain cancer, and the doctor says it's pretty serious. I'm going in for surgery tomorrow, and then chemotherapy and radiation and the whole thing. And they say it could be bad." His dad says, "How did you find out?" And then he goes through all the regular stuff about how he, you know, 3 days ago he'd had a seizure, and then he went into the hospital and he did all these tests, and he goes through all of the medical stuff. And then his dad says, I want to be there for you. I want to be there for Grace or just to watch Avery or something. I'm going to drive through the night, and I'm going to be there in the morning, okay? And Dominic, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you." And though the praying business wasn't anything that Dominic really liked to hear about, he said, "Hey, Dad, thanks. I could kind of use all the help I can get right now. So, you know, I appreciate that. I'll see you soon, okay?" "Okay. Did you call you? Have you told your mother yet?" He said, I was going to call her next." "Okay." He hangs up. Picks up the phone and finds his mom's name in the address book. Which is it? Phone rings a little bit. "Hi, this is Suzanne with the Sun Salutations Yoga Center. I'm out chasing my bliss. Please leave a message after the beep. Beep." Tries to call his sister. Younger sister Lucy. They used to do everything together, you know? They even partied together, which... Anyways. "Hey. Hey, Luce, it's Dom." "Yeah." Hey, Lucy, I've heard some bad news today." "Yeah, I've got cancer. I've got brain cancer. It's called glioblastoma. It's like pretty serious and stuff. And anyways, I'm going for surgery tomorrow, and then chemo and radiation, and I just wanted to call and let you know." And then, you know, Lucy asks all the questions that you kind of expect, and how did he find out? And he goes through the whole story again, you know, of the, he had a seizure, and then he went to the hospital, and they got all the tests, and they did all that stuff, and all the diagnosis, and, you know, everything he knew. He gave us all the stuff, and then it kind of got quiet again. And Lucy said, "Dominic, are you scared?" I said, "Yeah, I'm scared. I don't really know what to expect." "I'm like, Dominic, are you scared of dying?" I'm like, "Yeah. I am. I never really thought about it, but like it's just coming so fast, and I don't know what to make of it. And I don't know what to think, Luce. I don't know what to think. I guess I'm scared. I don't know." And then she says, "Hey, have you gotten like right with God and stuff?" I says, "Lucy, come on. You know, come on. Why are you asking me this? What's this all about?" She says, "Well, you know, a couple months ago, you know, Eddie and I, we went down to visit Dad, and we went to church with him, and I don't know, I've just been kind of thinking about that stuff since then. You know, like the whole God and Jesus and heaven and all that stuff. You know, are you, have you gotten right with God? Dominic's, Lucy, what are you saying? Are you trying to get me like saved or something? Or are you worried that I'm going to die and go to hell? And Lucy says, maybe, kinda, yeah. Pause. So we're in this series called Jesus Who, of looking at who is Jesus and the question that I would challenge you, this is a question every person needs to answer for themselves. And because every one of us is going to be at some point in a situation a little bit like Dominic's. It might come sooner, might come later, might be faster, might be slower, but at a point where you realize, you know, my life is at some point going to come to an end. And in that moment, the way that you respond will be largely determined by your answer to this question: who is Jesus? Last week we talked about the resurrection and how Easter declares that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead, and that the message of Easter is that those that put their faith in Jesus can experience resurrection also, that we too will rise from the dead with Jesus. Today we look at the aspect of a primary claim of Jesus, the one that probably gets, it's going to get a little quiet, because this is the one that makes us squeamish. We don't like it. It's politically incorrect. It just seems so, sometimes judgmental. And it's this. See, Jesus claimed this sometimes kind of subtly. He would use things like, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the living water. I am the living temple. I am the shepherd. I am the gate. And all of those point to this. But this is here today, we're going to look at the passage where he is the most overt about this. And I desperately want us to wrestle with this. Jesus claims he is the only way to God. He says this in John chapter 14. So he's talking to his disciples, and he's kind of getting ready and getting them ready for his own death, and he says this: do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus claims that he is the only way to God. So if we take this resurrection thing as fact, and we take what Jesus says as truth, then we have to wrestle with this. What do we do with this? Let me just talk to those of us that have been a Christian for a while. So if you're just checking the church thing out, you can just tune me out for the next, like, 2.5, 3 minutes, okay? I've really been wondering about this. Like, because I affirm this, you know? I believe this is true. It's in the Bible. I believe it to be true. Jesus said it. I believe it to be true. I mean, he said it a lot of times, so I can't, I mean, it's in the Greek. I've looked at this. Jesus says this. Jesus says this. Problem is, when I look at my own life, when I look at my own life, I'm not doing very much about it. Outside of Jerusalem, there's a place called Gehenna. It's the garbage dump of Jerusalem. It's the place where when food or pottery or building supplies, all that stuff, when it gets discarded, it goes to Gehenna. It goes to this garbage dump, and they burn it in the garbage dump. There's bonfires in Gehenna all the time. And Jesus talks about Gehenna. We commonly use the term hell. And the scary thing is, apart from Jesus, apart from receiving that forgiveness through Jesus, Jesus teaches us that people are headed for the garbage dump. And they weren't made to go to the garbage dump. They were not put on this earth to go to the garbage dump. People are not supposed to be discarded. You don't belong in the garbage dump. Right? And yet I look at my own life and you see of, you know, I understand this message that Jesus came so that people would not be discarded. They would not go to the garbage dump. That even though we are bent towards rebellion, we are bent towards sin, we are bent towards walking away from God, we are walking towards the garbage dump. Jesus came so we wouldn't get there. So he would stand in the gap and prevent us from walking ourselves to the garbage dump. Prevent us from being discarded. That he paid the sacrifice for our sin, for our rebellion, for all the things that keep us heading to the garbage dump. He took care of it. And now I understand that, and you understand that, probably many of you, and you've heard this part before, and it just burns me up without I realize that I am doing so little about it. I look at my calendar and it gets full, and yours does too. I'm busy and I'm doing all sorts of things, and it's wonderful and it's important, but I mean, come on! Really? Is my hobby really that important? Really? Is my preoccupation with money and my preoccupation with my comfort and the comfort of my family? I mean, really, is it that important? If people are heading to the garbage dump and there's a message that can change that, really? It's that important. It's that busy. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Really? You know, I told you last week that I gave up a couple of things for Lent. I gave up candy, which is why by Easter night I had a tummy ache because I overindulged. Sweet tarts. I like them. They're yummy. The other thing I gave up for Lent is about one day a week, I would fast. You know, just for 24 hours, it's not a big deal. But here's the reason. It's just to say, Lord, would you increase my love and my concern for lost people? Would you help me to be aware of the people in this world that you are so passionately in love with? Would you help me to care more? So for those of you that have been walking with Christ for some time, I mean, you've heard this verse before, probably. If not, I mean, think about this. What are you doing? What are you doing? And now, if you're here just checking it out, you're just checking, you know, this faith thing out, and man, we are so glad that you're here. We are so glad that you are here. Let me just say this one thing to you. If today you're here and you're kind of a seeker, I'm so sorry. There are billions of people on this planet that say they follow Christ. And you probably look at us and you see all this indifference and this callousness and a certain degree of hypocrisy because we're not talking about this thing that we say is so important. I am so sorry. You should be getting more from us. I hope you don't experience that as a lack of love. But the truth is, it kind of is. But we're working on it. One of the ways that we sometimes present Christianity is sort of the same way that you might have asked a girl out in junior high. You know, you send her a note and you say something like this: "Do you like me? Check one, yes or no." And so sometimes we try to explain the faith a little, you know, like, well, nowadays they just text it that way. They don't use paper. They just text, "You like me? Yes, no." And you know, and the question of "Are you a Christian?" it's a valid one. I mean, that's a valid question. My hunch is, for many people in our culture, as they look at this question, they see a lot of stuff in the yes box. Like, if I say yes to this, then somehow I'm affirming all this other stuff. It means I need to say, "Oh, I'm okay with the Crusades and the child abuse and the corruption and the judgmentalism and the gay hating and the Inquisition and the power hungry and the holier than thou." I think I could be wrong here. I hope I am, but that some people, when they look at a question like this, "Are you a Christian?" they just look at all the stuff that they see in that yes box and they go. I can't check that box. Let me present another way of maybe asking the question. That it's the same question, but I find this way of asking it a little more helpful. Christianity is about Jesus. So actually, I'd like you to do this with me, if you would. If on the back of your connection card, now that you've got a pen and stuff, just put the word Jesus right in the middle of that card. Jesus. And rather than ask, it's the same question, ultimately, but asking it in a closed set. This is what you call using, it's an open boundaried set, where imagine there being arrows on there. So, and the question is, fundamentally, is is your life oriented in relationship to Jesus? Are you trusting him and heading towards him? Or are you heading away from him? Like, see, you know, the person up with the red arrow up in the right-hand corner? You know, in terms of maybe all this Christian culture, all the stuff we kind of build up around Christianity and church, and you listen to K-Love, and you've got the little fish on the back of your car and all that cool stuff. They might be really distant from that. I mean, maybe totally differently, you know, different cultural background, the whole deal. And the green arrow Maybe they're doing all that stuff. They're going to church every week, and they never swear, they never watch R-rated movies or whatever it is that, you know, it's kind of in the thing that you think of all the stuff that, you know, kind of goes along with Christian culture. But which way is their arrow pointing? Which way is it pointing? Away. In the heritage of the Covenant Church, one of the questions that defined the movement early on, when it started about 150 years back, was this question: how goes your walk with the Lord? Not, are you a Christian? Check yes, no. But how goes your walk with the Lord today? Is your heart heading toward Jesus right now? Or is it heading away from? Because see, it's possible that you could be surrounded by all the stuff, you know, all the Christian-y stuff, and your heart is heading away from Jesus. It's also possible that, you know, even from the outside looking in, you might seem very distant from, you know, you're not into any of the Christian-y things, but your heart is heading toward him. Which of those two arrows is in the more spiritually dangerous place? How goes your walk with the Lord? That's the fundamental question. I'd like you to do something. Now that you've made a little chart, a little Jesus chart, I want you to make a couple arrows just for you. Just for you. I'd like you to put an arrow with where you were with Jesus a year ago. And then another arrow with where you are now. Is your heart moving toward him, or is it moving away from him? If you're just wondering whether you're in or out, that's the wrong question. The question is Jesus. How goes your walk with the Lord today? Are you heading toward him today? Are you trusting him today? You know, some of us are moving fast, some of us are moving slow. A church might look a little bit like this. You know, you got arrows all over the place, and some are moving in, and some are moving out, and some are going fast, and some are going slow. And the question is Jesus. How goes your walk with the Lord today? Made a couple arrows? I know some of you are like this. Well, I'm not doing nothing for you. Some pastor not telling me nothing what to do. All right, that's cool. Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. I'd ask you also to, like last week, you know, as we're looking at this question, who is Jesus? I challenge you to find out for yourself, figure it out for yourself, to read one of the Gospels in the next 4 weeks. So by the end of April, to read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you pick. If you've done that, or if you're working on that, I'd really love it if on your communication card today, if you just write down the name of the book. If you're reading one of those, it was pretty cool last week. About 60 people, you know, at least on the connection card, said, "Hey, I'm interested in doing this." If you're working on one of those things, just maybe write down what book, just so we can be praying with you about it, excited for you. Or if you're saying, you know what, I think I'm going to take a closer look. You know, I'm not going to just take it because you say it, Pastor. That's a good thing, by the way. I'm going to read it for myself. I'm going to open up the Bible. I'm going to get to know this Jesus firsthand. Firsthand. And so I challenge you to consider taking this gospel challenge if you haven't done this already. Just by the end of April, one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you pick. We got Bibles. We'd love to give them away to you if you don't have a Bible. Or take two if you have a friend that wants to do this. I mean, just... we want people in the Bible. We want people to wrestle with who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And to decide for themselves, who is Jesus? Because these questions will shape you. And other thing is to consider getting involved with a connection group, getting into some environment where you can talk about your faith. I want to show a little video where we're introducing some of our connection group leaders. And If any of these are of particular interest, just check off a box.
And I'm looking forward to hosting a small group.
Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Linda. And we would love to have you come to our group. If you've never been in a group before, come with us. You have a great time.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Penny.
We invite you to join us on Sunday night at 6:30.
We'd love to have you come.
Hi, I'm Anita.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'd love to have you join us Sunday nights at our house.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Mary.
We're going to have a Bible study on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock.
We'd love to have you come.
Hi, I'm Evan Anderson, and I can't wait to talk in depth about my hero, Jesus Christ, and exactly who he is and how he came to save us all.
Hey, I'm Ty.
And I'm Angie.
And we are hosting a group of the No Agenda Agenda
on Wednesday nights at 6:30 to 8.
And if you are new or just new to the whole home group thing, come check us out.
My name's Don Miller, and I host the Saturday Morning Men's Fellowship. And I would love to invite each and every man here to join us.
And so Dominic is on the phone with Lucy. He says, well, you know, Lucy, if you had given me that question yesterday, that same, I would have told you where to go with it. Because, you know, you're living with Eddie, I'm living with Gracie, you know, we've done all the same partying, all that kind of same stuff. It's not like either of us is up for sainthood, so who are you to talk to me? And Lucy says, oh, Dom, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to, sis, you didn't let me finish, he says. That was yesterday. Today, I'm just glad you asked, because at least it shows that you care. So Lucy said to Dominic, she said, well, I just really want to be there for you tomorrow, or for Grace, or to watch Avery, or whatever it takes. I'm gonna get there as early as I can, okay? Is it okay if I come? Yeah, Lucy, it's okay. It's okay, I'd love to have you here. Hey, thanks for making the trip. You can do that? You can drop everything? Yeah, I want to be there. Wow, okay. Hey, then I'll see you in the morning, all right? All right. And so the conversation ended for that night until the next morning when Dominic went in for surgery. But that's the story for next week. Let's pray. Lord, this is a hard truth to wrestle with. Lord, for those of us that have known you and walked with you for some time, Lord, I pray that that truth would not just live in our heads, but Lord, that it might press on our hearts. Oh God, help us to care. Lord, for somebody to, if there's somebody here today that they're distant from you, or their arrow is pointing in a different direction than Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, by your love, you would woo them. You would call them to Jesus, the one that can save them, the one that wants to live in them and through them, the one that wants to give them new life, the one that came to save all of us from the garbage dump.